This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
Chapter 2. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for those who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Still talking about that wisdom and knowledge, isn't he?
Yes.
We were talking about back in verses 9 and 10 and 11 of the first chapter.
That awful thing that's disparaged, this cold doctrine, you know.
But it's everything here.
It's the start. Do the Christian living without the correct understanding of wisdom and knowledge.
That's I like that observation. You mentioned that about how that Paul very carefully sets in place the fundamental issues of faith and the fundamental issues of God and Christ and this hope and salvation. He tends to do that before he gets into the Christian living, you know.
He's smart enough to know that's how it works. Yes. But Jesus, after all, had defined God before he said, now you're to love that God.
Yeah, well, that's right. We need to know who that God is that you're supposed to love.
Who would imagine doing away with the loving your neighbor and loving God stuff?
That's right.
Nobody.
That's right.
But who would imagine getting away with the Lord our God as one Lord, the Jewish Unitarian creed of Jesus?
That's right.
That is gone by the board.
Wow.
That apparently doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
When you think about it, then Jesus, when he's laying those things out in Mark 12:29 he's setting in place first the issues of who God is, and that you're to love him and be and adhere to him, hold to him, and then he gets to love your neighbor.
Yes.
In a way, Paul's following that same pattern,
totally.
Isn't he?
No, I think they all
in
are.
His writings. He's following that. So let's set in mind who is God. Let's get that right.
That's right.
And now we understand that Jesus is the Christ of God. He's not God, but he's the Christ of God. So we put that in place.
Well, Luke does the same
thing. And then we go on.
Yeah, they're masters. These people see are masters of the trade,
we
are not. They're masters of the trade. Look at Luke 2:11. Today is born in the city of Bethlehem the one who is the Lord Messiah.
Yeah.
And then a few verses later in 2:26, he says, this is the Lord's Messiah.
The Lord's
Messiah. Okay,
that's
you've got a Lord God and you've got a Lord Messiah.
That's right.
It's in the muddle of those two characters that we're...
And there's only one who is the Lord God. And there's only one
who's the Lord Messiah.
That's right.
And then
which
not
is
both
the
God.
Ephesians 4, verses 5 and 6 on the money.
Exactly. One Lord and one God.
But don't
muddle them up.
That's
don't
right.
expand the
For goodness sakes. That's right.
This is the ultimate stupidity of us Gentiles, I think. I think these writers, who again are masters of their trade, would be so shocked. They'd say, sit down, gentlemen. Mm. Let me give you a basic lesson in how many people are God. That's one. That's the Father. 1,300 times in the New Testament.
It's overwhelming, isn't it? It's just clear.
Okay.
Wow. Verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, I say this, verse 4, in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I'm absent in body, yet I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ.
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating? So now he's against the deluding influence of Satan.
Wow.
And notice it's not just in your ethics. It's not somebody's coming along saying you can all commit adultery and that's fine.
That's right.
But a much more subtle thing. Somebody can get you confused about who God is and who Jesus is and the gospel.
I love this word plausible.
Yes.
But they're going to bring you these plausible arguments. That, the entire Gentile Christian doctrine of the Trinity is built on plausibility.
Absolutely.
You know, isn't this possible?
Yes.
Couldn't God be two or three or half a dozen persons?
Yes.
Couldn't God be, Christ? You get in all this supposedly plausible stuff.
Very plausible.
And,
right.
But you don't want to get caught away with what's plausible. You want to get caught into and hold to what is the reality. Not what's plausible, what could be, but what is.
Yes.
And I think when you begin to look at it from that perspective, it's not really reasonable to say, it's plausible that God could be two or three persons when Paul knows nothing about a two or three person God.
That's exactly right.
You know, it makes no sense.
It makes no sense, and that really strikes me as interesting what you said there, because the prodigious efforts that have been used to turn the word one into more than one yes. must rank in the history of human thought as some of the most miraculous miraculous pieces of subterfuge.
Yeah.
Echad, we have to say, one means one.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute, one flesh, you see, you've got a couple there, you've got a husband and a wife,
yes,
so
yes.
doesn't one really mean two?
Yes.
Clever, plausible, but highly misleading.
Yes.
One still means one. It's not two fleshes. Mm. One is not
yes.
plural. One is like the English numeral. Mm-hmm. You go into a dollar store, Dan, and you say, you walk back here and you say, this item is marked as one. Oh, well, that's compound one, $13. Thank you
yes,
very much.
Yes.
We've entered into the area of madness here. Mm. We must insist on this.
Echad
is one. Is one. God is one person in the New Testament. That's what the Greek actually says.
I think a good thought, a word of advice for all serious Bible students and everybody who wants to read their Bible with understanding is to recognize that if someone says something is plausible
yes.
or possible, they've not yet proven that it is.
That's right.
So it's plausible that God is 12 people, but is that really
That's right.
the way it is? It's plausible that God is two or three or four or five people, but is that the way it is? God is one,
yes.
really one.
Yes.
And that's the reality.
That's right.
So when you go off after plausibilities,
right.
you're wandering down a little trail that leads
yes.
you to we don't know where.
Even if the person telling you has a PhD.
See, it doesn't matter.
That's what makes
right.
it more difficult.
That's right.
So, you know, people say, well, you know, what do we do then? Well, the answer is you stay with the great commentaries and the great lexicons.
Yeah.
So people in... If they don't have a knowledge of Hebrew, borrow a rabbi. Take
yeah.
your Brown, Driver,
right.
and Briggs Hebrew
right.
lexicon and four or five others of the same quality.
Mm-hmm.
Look up the word one and see if it ever says anything about plural one or
yeah.
one being compound
this
one.
Is,
it doesn't say anything.
That's
You're
right.
telling me those dictionaries missed that extraordinary thing?
That's right.
If you get it from a PhD who claims to have knowledge of these things, watch out.
That's right.
Because it's not supported by the dictionaries
Certainly
or indeed
not.
Common
That's
sense.
Right. Yeah. And never, well, and I like your thought about common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Never overlook the value of just sitting down and reading Paul.
Yes.
I think sometimes people will, we read so many other books, and that's fine.
Mm.
Other books sometimes have value. You write books, I'm writing a book.
Mm.
We do commentaries, this is wonderful.
That's right.
But did you ever realize that you can sit down and you can read the book of Colossians for yourself
that's
and
right.
just ask yourself
mm-hmm.
the simple question?
Yes.
And just let Paul speak to you.
Yes.
It's not that hard.
That's right.
He's not going to speak to you about three persons being
no,
God
never.
Or two persons
Isn't
being God.
Amazing.
He's not going to talk to you about a dual nature in Christ. He's not going to talk to you about those things.
Yes.
Those are all post-biblical developments that had nothing to do with the Bible itself.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting. The problem there for the public is that their revered pastor has been to school.
Mm.
You're not telling me he doesn't know. And my answer to that is, well, go to the lexicons. These people who specialize in language,
right.
they're not all flaming liberals
right.
and therefore wrong by being a liberal.
That's right.
Because people who do dictionaries are very smart people with
yes,
words.
Sure.
Go to all the Hebrew and Greek
sure.
lexicons and
That's
see if
right.
you can find the word one defined
right.
as more
right.
than one. You won't find it.
Yes.
That
yes.
should raise your suspicions
right.
at least.
Yes. If you see someone trying to define one as three in any book, you know that that's really a little bit of hocus pocus, isn't it? I mean, isn't that a little bit of we're doing a little magical act here? One really means three. Oh, okay. Well, then what does four mean then?
Right.
We wonder what
Indeed.
That would be. You know, what
yes.
does that mean eight or ten? I don't know.
Well, ask your child when Jesus says, "You, Father, are the only one who is true God." Or monos alithinos theos. That's what the Greek says.
Yeah.
Try that on your child, and this
yes.
is the only toy you can play with now. Well, of course, I really mean there are two others you can,
that
play.
You can play with.
See, language has lost its bite now. We're now interfering with the very currency that keeps our sanity.
Absolutely.
The dime is still, I believe, 10 cents, isn't
yeah.
it, America?
Last I heard.
Unless
right.
I have decided it's 5 cents.
Yes.
These are very fundamental
yep.
things, but our children, it's for very good reason in Deuteronomy, God says, sit down with your children and talk about these
That's
things
right.
morning, evening, and
That's
night.
Right.
Get up in the morning and talk about Echad
That's right.
and describe who God is,
That's right?
Otherwise, we're not going to make it
That's right.
against this plausible mm-hmm. argument.
Plausible doesn't mean it's real.
No.
And that's where we have to get discerned.
Yeah.
People say, well, I guess that could be.
Yes.
And then somebody says, well, and
yes.
it is.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden we're down this pathway that you can get lost on that pathway and miss All the glory,
yes,
power, and
yes,
this what Paul is referring to here as,
yes,
the wisdom and knowledge,
that's
treasures
right,
of wisdom and
treasures,
knowledge.
Treasures, all God, of which are in Christ,
wow,
and recites the Shema,
yes,
and that proves that he is a good Jew as regards
right,
the definition,
yes,
of God.
Yeah.
We need to get that out to the public.
Absolutely. Verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments.
Delude.
Yeah.
Delude.
Yeah. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ.
Yes.
Verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving.
Yes, that's nice.
Wow. I like that Paul often speaks about this thanksgiving, always praying with thanksgiving,
yes,
abounding in thanksgiving.
That is important,
that,
isn't it?
Yes.
Why? Because this, what, confirms, strengthens your relationship with God. You're thankful to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You're indebted to them.
Yeah.
This binds you.
We don't consider it a very thoughtful thing.
Yeah.
If someone does some good for you or gives you some gift, that you would not be appreciative of that. And
that's right.
We try to teach our children that
that's
at
right,
an early age.
Indeed.
Well,
yes.
Now tell them that you appreciate,
yes,
it.
Yes.
Well, that's just fundamental, isn't it? We should,
it is.
And if we're
going to
appreciate anything, we should certainly appreciate
that's
the
exactly
gifts of
right,
God and his work,
yes,
in us.
Yes.
So I like that
mm-hmm,
one. Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ.
Wow.
For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily.
Yes.
Verse 10, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority.
Yes.
Verse 11, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all trespasses. 14, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him.
Yes.
Wow.
Again, you have that, don't let anybody take you captive through philosophy. That should be a warning, since we know that the creedal developments post-biblical were heavily reliant upon Greek philosophical concept. Everybody knows that. You'd think that would be a fierce warning sign here. Watch out for philosophy, which is demonic.
Yes,
The elemental spirits would be a reference to the demonic world. It's very deceptive. And then 9, in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells. What is not quoted is Ephesians 3:19, parallel to this, which says the same thing, our Christians, that we are to be filled up with all the fullness of God.
Yes,
that doesn't
yes,
make us God.
Of course.
Of course we know that God was in Christ
that's
uniquely.
Right.
That's absolutely clear. But
absolutely,
God was Christ is a different thing.
Entirely different.
Two gods entirely different.
Yeah.
So 3:19 of Ephesians comes in to balance that otherwise twistable
yes,
statement in 2:9 of Colossians.
Well, 2:9, and I know that was a really critical verse to me and my background, because I thought in my mind, and so did my friends, we thought that meant that if all fullness of God dwells in
yes,
Christ,
yes,
therefore Christ is God.
Yes.
But then there is this pesky problem
yes,
with, as you say in Ephesians 3:19, where that the fullness of God is to dwell in all
absolutely,
the people. I think clearly, as we begin to understand it in the first chapter, verse 17, what we've got is this fullness of God in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing the fullness of God is dwelling in him,
yes,
in his person.
Always.
And but the fullness of God that dwells, it's not about a spatial matter, I think. It's not about God taking up space. It's about what God has in his plan, his work, in his work for his people, in his work for humanity, the kingdom of God. Everything's in Christ.
Yes.
We don't go somewhere else to find
right.
it.
That's right.
Even to Moses,
mm-hmm.
it's all in Jesus Christ. He was the one it was all about from the beginning.
Yes.
And he is the beginning of the new creation,
yes.
so that's wonderful. So all God's program, all God's work, all
yeah.
God's plan
yeah.
is in him. And then, as he's going to say there in verse 10, then we are complete. We are filled
right.
in him.
That's
we're in
need.
Christ, so everything's in him, and now yeah. we have everything we need when we're
that's
in
right.
him. We're filled. We're full
that's right.
in him.
That's a Holy Spirit word. Fullness is the Spirit
like
of God.
Yes.
Fully in, uniquely in Christ. He had a greater
yeah.
measure of spirit than we do, but we're
right.
supposed to be somewhere near, and we're becoming maturer, hopefully, so that
yes.
we can measure up to the fullness of God in us.
That's right.
But that verse gets no publicity at all.
Yes, that's right.
And this one does.
That's
so
right.
we're engaging, I think, in a very dishonest way of dealing with Scripture.
Yeah.
We're picking one or two verses
yeah, that's right.
and ignoring 500.
Right. It's unfair to take verse 9 out and divorce it from its
yeah.
larger context of Paul's writings about the fullness
Absolutely.
Of God.
Yes.
And then give it a significance
yes.
that obviously Paul
right.
doesn't have in mind.
That's right. Yeah.
So I like this much better than the way I used to think about that. This works much better.
Simplifies a lot,
doesn't
it?
This does
yeah.
well. And now I look at it and I say, okay, whether it's Moses or it's someone else, the fullness of God is actually in Christ Jesus. And everything God has for me, I can find
yeah.
in him. That's why we're the disciples of
yeah.
Jesus Christ. Supposed to be.
Absolutely, we must be.
That's
yes.
right.
And then Paul's creed in 1 Timothy 2:5 sums it up so easily, I think.
Oh,
my
yes.
goodness, everybody just believed that. We
yes.
can get on with life and
yeah.
not argue about anything.
Yeah.
There's one God,
yes.
i.e. the Father,
yes. Yes.
and one, again, another one,
yes.
mediator,
yes.
the man, Messiah Jesus.
Yes.
Why didn't he bother saying the God-man?
Yes.
It's just
right.
incredible
yeah.
to me that Paul could be so bad yeah. with his definition.
Right. Well, you know, and that shows again how badly our traditions
yes.
work. We will actually yeah. come up with things totally out of sync
mm.
with what the Bible itself said. Here we say, and there is one mediator between
mm.
God and men.
Defined as the man.
And he's going to clearly, he goes out of his way
right.
to make it clear,
the
man, not the God,
right.
not the God-man,
right.
but the man, Christ
yes.
Jesus, is our mediator. And yet I've had friends of mine tell me, oh, but he had to be a God-man
yes.
to be the mediator.
Yes, yes.
That's not what Paul said.
No.
Don't mess with
right.
the simplicity of the Scriptures
right.
and the beauty of it.
And then remember the creed says he's man, but not a man. Well,
yes.
Paul said he's
oh,
the
life.
Man Messiah. He didn't say he's man Messiah.
He
no,
is,
he's the
he
man
is
Messiah.
The man Messiah.
It isn't
right.
a problem in these lucid writers.
Yes, yes.
And we don't want to create, we've got enough problems in the world without creating theological nightmares.
That's right. That's right.
That are so confusing and so cruel, may I say, because
yes.
people get kicked out of whole
yes.
groups for challenging
well, that's right.
these post-biblical creeds.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
not good sense.
Mm. I like this, these comments, too, that Paul goes on to make about the circumcision, which he said we have a circumcision in Christ,
of course.
But not the one that kind,
ah,
the word it's made with hands. Where Paul has counseled us. Remember in Galatians 5
yes,
and on other in other
yes,
places,
he, that, yes.
he counseled us
yes.
that circumcision
yes.
Is to no avail in Christ. And
isn't that radical?
I like that a lot. And he counseled if you're come to Christ being uncircumcised,
yes.
don't seek to be circumcised. For goodness' sake,
goodness
that would be going
right.
the wrong path. That would be
right.
going the wrong direction.
So it's in the spirit and not in the letter. That's that famous Romans 7:6, which
oh,
solves
yes.
that whole thing.
Yes.
Newness of the spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. We're getting
that.
Into that section
yes,
right
yes,
now.
Yes.
If that distinction were understood, we'd have less fight about do we have to wear prayer tassels?
Yes, yes.
Are we keeping the
yes.
new moons, etc., etc., which
yeah.
troubles the church
yes.
today
yeah.
beyond measure,
yeah.
quite unnecessarily,
yeah.
if we took
that's right.
note of what you just mentioned mm-hmm. here. Spiritual circumcision, not made with hands,
yeah.
not in the letter. That's not what counts.
We don't want that. We're not getting into
no,
that. And
no.
Paul is warning the people.
Yeah.
If you're going to try to be circumcised, you've got to do the whole law, for goodness sakes. Don't
isn't
go
isn't
that route.
Amazing.
What are you talking about?
And it would be just the devil's cleverness to say, listen, the Bible says you all need to be physically circumcised. It
yes.
does in Genesis 17.
Right.
But it doesn't in Colossians.
That is exactly
we're in the
right.
new covenant.
Yeah. in this new covenant of Messiah, yes. It's a different picture. It's a wonderful different picture.
Yes.
I like this too. He carries right out of this circumcision of Christ, a circumcision, having been buried with him in baptism. Mm-hmm. I think that's rather straightforward too, isn't it? He's saying very clearly, in which you are in that baptism, you were also raised with him through faith and the power, powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So it's not like the being immersed with him in death and the resurrection are sort of two different events. He's saying that this baptism, you are buried with him in that, in which, at that same in that same circumstance, you're raised with him. Isn't that
that's right? Not a literal resurrection, a metaphorical resurrection,
of course.
Certainly.
That's right.
But nevertheless, you're doing all of that with Christ.
That's right.
Following in his model.
And apparently, that means a great deal to God.
Yeah.
And the circumcision of the flesh is not what God is seeking for people. He's seeking this baptism in which we're immersed into Christ and raised with him.
So to argue about water baptism is really the ultimate in futility, it seems to me. But do you have to be baptized? Well, yes, of course. Why? Because it says so.
It says so quite a number of times, in fact.
I love this notion that to be a son in New Testament times means, first of all, you obey what the dad says.
Right.
You do what he says.
Yeah.
Secondly, you learn the trade with dad. You watch dad learn the trade, and you learn the trade.
Of course.
Thirdly, you go out and represent your father.
That's right.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's right.
That's exactly what Jesus was
That's
doing.
Right.
But to say, do we have to be baptized, is to question 100 verses
Absolutely.
Of Makes clear sense. Commands.
Right. If someone comes to you and they're counseling you that you don't need to be baptized or you shouldn't be baptized,
that's right.
I think you need to not only question that statement, you need to also say, well, wait a minute, this person can't get this right. How much else should we take into consideration here that they're saying? Maybe they are not on track with other things as well. And many times they're not.
That's exactly right. There's an agenda, a deeper agenda, that I don't really like the words of Christ.
That's right.
Unless you fall in love with Christ through and his words,
yes,
you're missing, I'm afraid, the whole point of the New Testament.
Exactly, exactly. But I like that a lot. So then this powerful working of God who raised him from the dead, we in baptism, in which we also are raised with him.
Right.
So I like that a lot.
Yes.
And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, they being Gentiles of the flesh,
He
said, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us our trespasses.
Very
so it looks to me like he's going back to the beginning of your Christian journey here. And as Gentiles, they had not been circumcised in the flesh. Paul didn't want them to go that route by any means.
Not
God didn't want them to. But he says, you know, but in baptism, you were buried with Christ, so you're dead now.
That's right.
If you're dead, as we learned in Romans 7, the man who is dead is no longer subject to the law.
That's right.
It has no effect over him,
exactly.
Which is demonstrated by the fact that his widow is free to remarry. That
That's
shows
exactly.
that it's
Isn't
broken.
It
yeah.
Paul uses all sorts of parallels to make
wonderful.
This point.
Excellent stuff.
Which is very radical, but very essential. Now we're getting to more of the same when you get to 16, right?
Yeah.
What is the result of all this?
By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in it.
Powerful stuff and very controversial, I think unnecessarily today. It's become controversial. We always keep in mind the 2:14 of Ephesians, parallel.
Yes.
Himself is our peace, who made of both Jew and Gentile groups into one, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, and this... And some people think horrifying. They reject Paul out of hand and say that Paul must be a false prophet, because in verse 15 of Ephesians 2, he says, by abolishing in himself, in his flesh, the enmity, which is the law, the Torah, of commandments in ordinances.
Yes.
Now, Paul is not saying that we've abolished the law of love of your neighbor. That's silly. It's those things that have dividing the Jew from the Gentile, Sabbath keeping, holy day keeping, new moons,
all
castles,
of these things.
Food laws, of course, too. That's the thing that's gone out of the
way. And the circumcision itself. Isn't that the crux then?
It's crux.
Absolutely. Wow. If Jesus Christ has abolished the need for circumcision, then... then we know that we've advanced now into the Torah of Messiah.
Absolutely.
We're there.
Great
it's, phrase. Now we know.
Exactly.
We've got to.
This is hard for some people.
I know. But but we've got to grow, don't we? I think as people, we need to begin to grow and begin to realize that we're under a covenant, an arrangement that was actually dedicated by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the new covenant, the new testament in my blood.
Oh, absolutely.
That's very different from the one that Moses
wrote. Very different.
Much better. Yes.
Equally bad is the idea that the new covenant has not yet been inaugurated, but will be inaugurated for the first time ever in the future with Jews.
That doesn't work at all. No.
That doesn't work.
No.
Paul says, I, Paul, am a minister of the new covenant,
right.
Which, by the way, has started.
Oh,
and it started
right.
when
that's
Jesus right. ratified it with
that's
his
right.
blood. And if you miss that, you're missing,
right.
you're cutting the nerve of the whole New Testament.
That,
I'm amazed at these mistakes.
Oh, my
How
land,
can
yes.
people read Paul and think we're not under the new covenant?
For goodness
this is
sakes.
Ridiculous.
Well, and all you have to do is spend a little time reading in Hebrews 7, 8,
yeah,
9,
of course.
10. Any of that, you know, you
that's right.
just begin reading, and it just speaks to you immediately.
Yes.
Of course, we're in the new covenant.
Of course,
one that was dedicated by the blood of Jesus Christ,
indeed.
Not with the blood of bulls and goats,
no.
but blood dedicated with the blood
right.
of Jesus Christ. And as I said before,
yes.
do we really want to mix that was dedicated by the blood of bulls and goats with that is now dedicated by the blood of the Son of God?
It's at our peril that we mix these two things.
I think it should not be done.
Going on.
Exactly.
Be done.
And that's what the writer of Hebrews is cautioning.
Yes.
And Paul as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful stuff.
I like the text that you quoted there, alluded to in Galatians. If you're going to get circumcised, don't do it. But if you're going to do it, then you're going to have to be obliged to keep the whole law. And I want to know, what whole law is Paul saying don't keep? Define that for me, please.
And that you would not be obliged to keep them.
You don't,
that's
yes.
right.
The whole point is
that's
there
right.
is some law here
that's right.
which don't keep. And
that's
of course,
right.
he's alluding to the food laws, the Sabbath, the holy days, numerous, as we're getting to
absolutely.
Immediately here.
Absolutely.
Which are shadows, for goodness sake.
Yep.
They're divisive.
Yep.
We don't want any more divisions. We've
we
got
don't
enough
need
problems
that's right.
already.
That's right. Wow. Verse 16 brings that, I think, to bear what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink,
yes.
or with regard to a festival or a new moon
yes.
or Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
These are a shadow of the things to come,
mm-hmm.
but the substance belongs to Christ.
Absolutely.
Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and, verse 19, not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. I love this a lot. So here we are then. This is that shadow that you talked a lot about, and
The three things together are a shadow. He says that clearly. The two categories is eating and drinking, or in annual holy days, monthly new moons, and weekly Sabbath. The trio is a single shadow. So it's absurd to say, well, we're going to stick with the weekly Sabbath, but not the other one.
Yes.
We're going to do the new moons, but we don't care about the other one.
Right.
We're going to do the holy days and all the new moons and all the weekly Sabbath. All of that fails because this is a single idea. Now, there's another trick argument used here. Paul says, they are shadows of things to come. Ah, you see, shadows of things still to come in the future. Therefore, very important today. What they don't observe there is in Romans 14, Paul says that Adam is a shadow of the one to come.
Yes, yes.
Properly translated in our sense, was a shadow, right?
Right, surely.
So
that's
these
right.
things in themselves are and were always shadows. And he's talking about them being superseded by the body of Messiah who has come, who has been
right.
exalted. So, trick arguments
right.
out there.
That's right. So we're really saying these were shadows of something that was to come.
Of course.
Now
right.
it's come.
That's right.
The body, the reality of it
yes.
all, is Christ.
That's right.
And I like
yes.
that.
It's very important because if you're going to insist on the verb tense in English there, then you're going to have to say Christ hasn't come.
yes.
Because in Romans, who is to come? Well, we know Christ has come.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
People will use every trick argument to avoid the greater sense,
that's right.
the overall sense that is so important.
Well, I think a person has to get a grip on the context here.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're looking at verse 16 and you're looking at these things like
yes.
The food issues, which
yes.
uh, would relate, yes. I suppose, then to dietary restrictions.
Well, absolutely, yes.
And you're talking about the festival or new moon,
yes.
Sabbath thing. If you've done all that, well, wait a minute. You say, well, you can't mess with those things. Wait a minute. Back up a minute. He just told us a few verses earlier, yes. You don't have to have circumcision.
Oh, wow. Is that
so
messing?
Let's get a grip
that's
here.
That's messing, isn't it?
If that's goodness. Right. If you're going to make yes. the distinction that yes. circumcision is not something that right. you would do,
yes.
don't let somebody come along telling you yes. you have to be circumcised. Yes. This is inappropriate.
Of course it is.
So yes. now we're coming down, and he's talking about some particulars of the law that obviously...
Yes.
No, don't let somebody come along telling you you have to do those things, don't let them bring judgment against you in these things. But if not circumcision, for goodness sakes, then certainly not these things, you know.
That's right. Romans 14, I say to people, can you imagine Paul saying, as he does in Romans 14:14 and 20, that's
yes, yes.
chapter 14, verses
right.
14:20, I'm convinced as a Christian and a Jew, he's a
yes.
Jew, I am totally convinced that nothing is unclean of itself unless
exactly.
you imagine it to be.
That's right.
Now, I'm trying to uphold Leviticus 11 food laws. I mean, come on, there is a limit to common sense. And then in verse 20, he says, all things are kathara. That's exactly the opposite word of akathartos, which are the listed things you
right.
mustn't eat.
Yes.
I mean, there must be an element of common sense here.
He's talking specifically about dietary restrictions under the law.
Expressing.
And he's saying nothing is unclean
that's
of itself.
Right.
This,
wow.
We've come to a new era
yeah.
in this
yeah.
Era and time of Messiah. All of
very
those
clear.
Things, they were all,
yeah.
All of this was shadow, if you
right.
will, of Christ.
Yes.
The, kind of help us getting
amazing?
A picture of the coming of Christ. But once he's here, he tells us through Paul
yes.
here that don't pursue circumcision.
Absolutely.
No, we're not going to go that way. We
yes.
have something much better, a
yes.
circumcision of the heart,
yes.
Not one made in the flesh. And then he's going to say, and oh, in Christ Jesus, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, the Galatians 5:1. And for goodness sakes, don't let anybody come around telling you, oh, you need to keep dietary restrictions.
Yes.
And watch out about the keeping the festivals and the new moons. This is not, oh my goodness.
It's just trouble.
Oh,
it's
it is.
It's just divisive.
Yes.
Because now you've got to fight with somebody who's not keeping the new
that's
moons
right.
problem.
That's right.
And we've got enough trouble
right.
in life, I think, without that.
Yeah.
The other point is, look at the mass of verses and chapters which are needed mm-hmm. to clarify this radical issue. The whole book of Galatians
absolutely.
Is about this. 2 Corinthians 3 mm-hmm. is totally about
mm-hmm.
it. The Sinai
mm-hmm.
is now gone. Heaven forbid, the Ten Commandments are bondage
yes.
in Galatians
yes,
4.
That's right.
No wonder some Jews find this very difficult.
Yes,
I sympathize
of course.
With them. And then the whole book of Hebrews. Look at the amount of scripture that was required to change radically our view of Torah from the Torah of Moses to the
yeah.
Torah of Messiah.
I like your point you were making recently about haven't we come far enough?
Yes.
That we could make some
yes.
headway in these matters.
So, right.
You know, we have these
that's
writings
right.
now. We have these matters.
That's
we've
right.
got Mark saying, by this, he
yes.
declared all foods
Mark
clean.
7:19.
Yeah, and can't we recognize
yes.
Paul's writings and the writings of those who were closer to Christ yes. than anyone dare claim to be today?
That's true.
And yet they're teaching us that these things are to no
yes.
avail and do not pursue them.
Right.
Don't go that way. Paul said,
right.
you know, for those of you who are not circumcised, don't go that way. Don't seek to be circumcised. Can't we hear the wisdom in these things?
Yeah.
You know.
No, I emphasize your point here because we are now at nearly 2,000 years ahead.
Yes, yes.
And we have the sophistication of commentary and helps, Bible helps of all sorts. Can we not see that the church has not been wrong? I mean, the mainstream church
yeah.
has not been wrong,
absolutely.
Insisting that Sunday is an appropriate day to meet. It's not the Sabbath. We know that.
It's okay.
It's an appropriate day, being Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
Can we not understand that the crucifixion was on a Friday? It certainly was.
Absolutely.
It's Wednesday, Saturday thing. All of this is esoteric stuff.
Sure. Who cares?
It's some private Bible study
sure.
that comes up with something that derails what is already in place.
That's right.
We don't need
yeah.
that.
Yes. Terribly misguided to begin with, because
yeah.
if we go back and we read much of that, if we go back and read the fourth commandment,
yeah.
where did you read anything about the fourth commandment about this is your day of worship?
I know, a good point.
It's a day of rest.
Yes, it was.
It was never proclaimed to be a day of worship. And now people are fighting, this must be the day you worship on. No, there is no scripture that tells you you must worship.
Yeah.
On any of the
yeah.
7 days of the week, you may worship
right.
on any day you choose. It was a day of rest.
Absolutely.
It was a day of rest, even
yeah.
in that regard.
Even that
so,
regard.
But here,
that's
and all
exactly
of it
right.
was just about the coming of Christ. Yeah. When he gets here, he tells us, hey, why shouldn't every day be holy? Right. Why shouldn't every day be regarded as holy? And you may worship as you will, but well, you know, Sunday's a fine day to worship if everybody's got that day off anyway. it's practical, I suppose.
I love Jesus' point in Matthew 12. Haven't you read, even in the Old Testament, he said, haven't you read that the priests are able to work on the Sabbath and not be guilty of anything?
That's right.
And I'm here standing, he says of himself, as a greater than temple. So
that's right.
Take it easy, friends, because I have superseded some of those Mosaic things.
That's right. And isn't he begin to unfold for them that the Mosaic picture was not perfect, not complete.
That's right. Wasn't complete.
It did some good things, certainly. We're all for that. That's wonderful. Right. But it was all, as Paul tells us in Galatians 3, it was all about getting us to Christ, getting us to faith. It was a tutor to kind of help us to see. And
see that.
Paul is here describing its tutorial work as being shadow type stuff.
I'm going to go back to childhood and be under the tutor.
That's right. Come on, let's grow up now. Let's get this.
That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
That's wonderful.
So now the rest is in Christ. The resting that we as Christians do is much greater than this idea of a Sabbath rest in that sense.
Oh, that's right.
But the resting we do is now in Christ.
And that's exactly
and it's the coming of the kingdom of God.
Well, absolutely. And also now come to me, all you who are struggling and exhausted, and I'll give you Sabbath every day.
Every day.
That's a bit of a bonus.
Take my yoke upon you. You're going to find that teaming up with me makes it easy.
Yes.
We're going to go
freedom.
And you'll, that's right. I love it.
Wonderful.
I like it a lot.
If any of our listeners is in any doubt, I think a rereading of Galatians and 2 Corinthians.
Oh, absolutely.
The whole book of Hebrews, with much prayer and much searching for truth,
absolutely,
will convince them.
Well, we worked our way through that in the in our video commentaries on Galatians and Hebrews in particular, and Romans. A lot of good stuff. Paul was dealing with this issue all the time.
All the time.
And he's very consistent about it. People sometimes will turn his word and say, well, he really meant that you should be circumcised. No, he didn't. He just flat out said, don't do that. How much clearer can he be? Don't be circumcised. If you're not circumcised, don't do that.
And don't keep the whole law that goes with it. Whatever that
right.
I want that
whatever
defined.
That is. That's
I say to these people, tell me, what is this whole law which you shouldn't keep?
That's right. And again, don't we as Christians have to decide whose disciples we are? I told some folks one time, I said, you're going to have to decide whose disciples are. Are you Moses' disciple?
Yes.
Or are you disciples of Jesus Christ?
Right.
And you say, well, I take both. Well, Paul just said, you are complete in him. In this very passage, Colossians 2 and 10.
Yes.
You're made full. All the fullness of God is not in Moses and Jesus.
Yes.
It's in Jesus. And we are made complete. Mm-hmm. We are filled with the fullness of God in Christ Jesus.
It's sufficient.
It's it. Yeah. You're complete in him. I like that.
The other point is that there are 10 occurrences in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible. There are 10 passages where we find that trio of observances together. New moons, holy days, and weekly Sabbath. That shows that when you think of the calendar, you think of it as a whole. So it's quite wrong for any group to say, well, I'm going to extract the weekly Sabbath because that's in the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
Well, wait a minute. Who said the Ten Commandments was anything other than a summary of the whole law of Moses?
Well, there you go. That's right.
And in Deuteronomy 5, it says those laws were not given to our forefathers.
That's
so
exactly
there's nothing
right.
sacrosanct
that's
about
right.
the Ten Commandments as
absolutely
being
not.
The final word.
Absolutely not.
This isn't that hard when you see it, but if you're an amateur in Scripture a little bit, not really familiar, it's very easy to be taken into that.
And to be misguided. You've spoken often about your own circumstances and unhappiness in,
well, that's
in
right.
going through,
that's
well,
right.
put it this way, in going through unhappy circumstances.
It was a learning experience looking back on it. In my case, it's very easy to see that into the vacuum of my Church of England background, where we didn't know anything about anything, and I'm not blaming anybody, maybe I wasn't listening, but we didn't do the intensive Bible study that you Americans typically do. Mm-hmm. Into that vacuum comes the stentorian voice of somebody telling me that Moses is ultimate.
Well,
I didn't know. I was nodding.
Yeah.
Now I see. But it took a stage in my development, I think, in many, this is true of many others, to grow beyond that into something which actually is richer and much better.
Yeah. And it takes great desire and courage in God. The courage to say those fearful words, I could be wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
But I think when you come to the place you're willing to say, I could be wrong, Now we are beginning to be of a mindset that God can work with and bring us forward.
What we call the aha moment, right?
Yes, yes.
Which happens to people sometimes in the watchtower. Right. You know, they sit through years of the watchtower, and one day they say, wait a minute. I'm not sure that an invisible second coming in 1914, or that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, could that really be? How can the high priest in Psalm 110:1 be an angel?
Yes, yes.
Since high priests are chosen from among men.
Yes, says, yes, yes.
I've seen that break the back of the watchtower.
Yes, yes.
Very significant.
Yeah, yeah. Many times good people.
Oh, no question.
But very confused and misled regard to important matters. But they're not alone in that. Welcome to the club. Many people are confused in many matters.
That's right.
But we all, if we can come to that place of being able to say with all gravity and sincerity, I could be wrong.
That's right.
It's time for me to begin to go back to the source and begin to say, what does Paul say about this? What does Peter say about it?
Right.
And if any of our
listeners want to challenge, you know, say, well, you're flat wrong on that point.
Sure.
Let them try.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we've seen most of the arguments here, but you can always miss something.
But that's right. We're always willing to consider. That's right.
Oh, yes.
That's right. Yeah. I was also noticing, Anthony, in verse 19, that Paul equates this matter of getting back into the shadow and spending your life in the shadow, so to speak. But Paul equates that with not holding fast, that is, strongly, firmly, to the boss, to the head.
That's right.
To the head. From whom the whole body, which we've been learning already in this writing of Paul's, is the church, his people.
Yes.
The whole body is nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God.
Mm-hmm.
So God is causing his body to grow. But you're not holding to the head when you begin to go back to Moses. You're not holding to the head when you say, oh, well, we better pursue circumcision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if even the sillier idea, well, we're not going to do circumcision, but we're going to do the law anyway.
That's right.
Well, if you're going to do the law, you've got to be circumcised. You know, I mean, that's kind of a non-starter.
Are you going to stone adulterers? Are you going to stone rebellious children? I mean, where do you stop with
that? Right.
That opens a can of worms, that one, doesn't it?
But to me, it's awesome that Paul equates that mindset.
Yeah.
With not holding on to the head.
Absolutely.
Who is, the head of the body is Christ.
Is Jesus keeping the new moons? I'm not sure that he's terribly
sincerely
insistent on that.
That's
right now.
Exactly.
What he's doing, we're supposed to be doing in preparation.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah, there's another point there in 16 that gets raised sometimes when you have, let the church judge you. They say, let no man, that's King James, misleading, don't let anybody at all, whoever it is, in these areas. But do let the Church of God tell you.
Yes, yes.
See, these are desperate arguments save a failed cause.
Yes, yes.
It's amazing. Common sense must, I think, prevail.
I think so, too.
And the plain sense of this is, unless Paul is frightfully misleading, the plain sense is he's not advocating rigorous Sabbath-keeping, holy days, and new moons.
Absolutely not. Verse 20. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as though you were still alive to the world, do you submit to regulations?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Verse 21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch.
Mm-hmm.
Referring to things that are all perishing as they are being used.
Yes.
Wow. Do we really want to get hung up on all these prohibitions?
No.
And he says, it's according to human precepts and teachings.
Mm-hmm.
These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. They don't help.
Isn't that amazing? Even Jesus himself got criticized. You know, well, John the Baptist is an ascetic. You know, he's a wacko.
That's right.
But Jesus out there drinking and eating in a normal Jewish manner, and he's criticized a winder. I mean, the devil is harsh.
Yes, yes.
Can we not find a balance here that models what Jesus
did
and not be at one extreme or the other? Because religion is so good at this sacramentalism. You know, if I could just touch the right holy wall, get the right holy water, make the right sign of the cross, pronounce the word Yahweh correctly, then I'm in.
That's right.
That's what God really cares about.
I like this, but again, his beginning there in verse 20, it's a very powerful statement. If you are indeed dead with Christ.
Yes.
If you have,
yes.
if with Christ you died.
Yes, died.
That's
yes.
very powerful.
It is powerful.
It is the imagery of Romans 7 again.
Isn't very it? Much so.
Yeah, the man who's dead, he's not under the law.
That's right.
He's not under it.
Dead
period.
To the law. The law can have no. Yeah. If you're dead, the yeah. law can have no yeah. effect on you.
Right.
A dead person is not moved by anything.
And Paul's point is, we are dead in Christ,
yes.
though we live yet.
And dead to the law.
Yeah, and dead to the law.
It is as powerful. Right. Actually, powerful. As you say that, it reminds me. It's as powerful a way as you can say it. I mean, yes. death is dead.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dead, you're not being moved in any way by
that's
external
right.
things.
That's right. That's,
that's
right.
our situation with mm-hmm. these elements of the law, not the law, the law of love.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Or loving your neighbor.
Yeah. That's,
that's
right.
not in question.
Yeah.
The law of adultery is not in question. We know that no ongoing
right.
sinner,
yeah.
in the terms of adultery and fornication, can enter the kingdom. Forget
that's right.
that. That's quite clear.
That's right.
And so Hebrews 5:9 is still remains a key text that salvation is given to those who obey Jesus.
There it is.
The question
right.
is, what does obeying Jesus
that's right.
mean?
That's right.
There's where you go
that's
carefully
right.
and read Paul,
that's right.
who
of
reflects
course.
Jesus, and
that's
read
right.
Jesus, as you mentioned, Mark 7:19,
yes.
about the food laws.
Wow, yes. So yeah. it comes quite clear then, doesn't it?
I think it
yeah,
does,
so.
But it's so modern
yeah,
in the sense
yeah.
that it hits all the prevailing issues and problems that we have in religion.
I think
it?
You're right. It's very very pertinent to our
yes.
situations today that we run into.
Yeah.
You would think that no one today who wants to embrace Christ would be trying to cling on to the law or parts of the law or whatever it is,
yeah,
but in fact that still goes on, and it's very unfortunate.
It is.
Yes. Very unproductive, unhelpful,
it is.
Harmful to our
right.
faith.
Right.
It's just damaging.
Yes.
People can't even worship together because you must
yes.
worship on
yes.
on the Sabbath day.
That's right.
So you know,
that's
so
right.
we can't even worship right. together anymore. For goodness sake!
And I'm sure you've thought
it's ridiculous.
The fact that we divide ourselves into denominations immunizes ourselves, inoculates us mm. against the awful fact
yes, yes.
that we're divided.
That's right.
You know,
right.
we don't know what they're doing down the road.
That's
they're calling
right.
themselves Christian.
That's right.
We go into different
that's
denominations, and Paul's words yeah. are ringing in our ears. I wish above all things, 1 Corinthians 1, that you all say the same thing.
On my land, yes.
That you all be divided into 30,000. I don't
no,
think so.
No, no, no.
There
it,
is
right.
a community of judgment that shows where the truth is. The yeah. faith wants to live it to the saints. None of us has it perfect. I'm
that's,
fully aware of that.
I think
that's but we're not doing very well when we're all meeting in different houses of worship.
Surely we can do better than that.
I think we can.
Yes, that's right.
That's our hope.